94. Marcus. Hating himself for the way he was treating her, but knowing that it was necessary, Marcus closed the door in Tariana's face. Then he turned around. It had been more than 7 years since he'd stood in this space, and yet nothing was changed. The walls still hung with maps, the desk still cluttered with books and half-drank water glasses, cucumber slices and crushed mint leaves settling to their bottoms. Commandant Wex sat on the chair on the far side of the desk, and with a smile he said,
I suppose you've finally earned the right to sit.
Shaking his head, Marcus lowered himself onto the stool, resting an ankle on his opposite knee. The stiff leather of his new sandals was already giving him a blister. Seemed strange to do so. Rising, Wex went to the sideboard and filled two glasses with water, dropping several slices of cucumber into each. Accepting the one he was offered, Marcus frowned at it.
I recall you don't like cucumber, Wex said, taking a seat. But it's good for you, and you'll need something to wet your tongue while you give me a full report.
Though it had been years, it was still ingrained in him to obey this man, and so Marcus started at the beginning, giving the pertinent details of the crossing and an account of what had occurred once they'd landed. He kept some choice information, such as the marked back, but otherwise was thorough.
Bardeen, Wex rubbed his chin.
And Cybern.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't be much worse placed if they were at the bottom of the sea.
Rising, the Commandant went to a framed map of the Empire on the wall, staring at it silently for a long moment.
Cybern is more of a logistical challenge, but Bardeen.
He shook his head.
It's a pot on the verge of boiling over. Supplying you via that stem will require a significantly larger Legion presence in the region, which will incite them further, I'm afraid. And Cassius won't hesitate to quell them using force. It will be nothing short of a massacre.
Nonus was the only pathhunter to make it to us, Marcus answered, then took a sip of water in an attempt to wash away the bile rising in his throat. He already had one massacre to his name, and the last thing he wanted was to be part of another. The rumor is that those in much of the West are partial to entombing Terminus stems, so any further men the Senate sends might be walking into their graves. Wex made an aggrieved noise, scrubbing a hand over the white bristles of his hair.
Madness. I'll see if we can pause the process until you've had further opportunity to make safe the stems in your area, but...
Cassius. Wex nodded.
His popularity with the Peregrini has never been worse. But it's a different story with the citizens. He favors them, and those with influence have found themselves making a great deal more money since he gained the consulship.
Wex's eyes turned hard.
Don't think I didn't notice your complicity in his rise to power, boy. Was it a bribe or a threat?
Both. The Commandant grunted.
He's recently appointed Hostus to command of the city guard. That's why the black-hearted bastard is here. The 27th is being moved to Timia, and once they're gone, the 29th will take up residence in Solyndriel's barracks.
Marcus's hands turned to ice.
You can't be serious.
Hostus? Solyndriel will boil over.
Then its streets will run with blood, because Cassius won't curb him.
Staring at the cucumber floating in his water, Marcus allowed the weight of this development to settle onto his soul.
This is your doing, his conscience whispered. Your fault. Is he favored to win again in the next election?
He wasn't.
Wex sat back down at his desk.
It's believed by most that you and yours were lost to the high seas to some Marin trick. Cassius spent a small fortune on your campaign to the Dark Shores, and until now, it has yielded nothing. He always had a strong opposition in the Senate, and that has grown. Those are not men who like to have their gold squandered. Even with Hostus's legion sure to pull the same trick as yours, he wouldn't have won. Not against Tiberius Ignatius.
That was his sister's husband. Marcus curbed the urge to ball his hands into fists because Cordelia was treading on dangerous ground.
Of course, with your arrival back in Solyndriel, that will change.
Wex leaned over the desk, and Marcus forced himself to meet his gaze.
You've just won him another term, whether you willed it or not.
His chest grew tight, a wheeze rising in his breath, and Marcus drank the contents of his glass, trying not to gag on the taste.
He'll have to let the Marin go now, which won't make him look good.
We'll see.
Wex rested his elbows on the desk.
Speaking of the Marin, do you care to explain how the enemy caught you alone with the girl?
Not in the slightest. I needed to speak with her about something alone, and we went too far afield. He lifted a shoulder. It was a mistake. Silence.
It's not like you to get involved, Wex finally said. Less like you to make mistakes. Put an end to it. But you're going to make more.
There's nothing to end, Marcus lied. And even if there were, with Teriana having delivered on her end of the bargain, she'll be out of my camp and back aboard her ship.
With how much more knowledge than she had before?
Wex gave a slow shake of his head.
Better for you to slit her throat than to let her live. Though I know that's not your way. You'll live with your mistakes no matter how much they cost you.
Marcus didn't answer, only met his mentor's gaze with as much dispassion as he could manage. She's not a threat.
Time will tell. Either way, it's time we're off. The Senate sits today, and my messengers will have reached their recipients by now with news that you are at Lessendor. So all will be there.
Fastening on his cloak, Wex opened the door and both of them stepped out. To find Teriana standing on one of the tables, surrounded by boys, all who wore rapt expressions.
And he stood at the front lines himself, she said. Only him and 100 men against an army of 7,000 strong. Or at least,
she whispered the last conspiratorially.
That's what the enemy thought.
No one noticed his and Wex's appearance, the boy's eyes fixed on Teriana as she took a long pause, surveying them.
The enemy emerged from the jungle, racing on foot and on horse across the open field, murder in their eyes.
She's got a gift for storytelling,
Wex murmured softly, as Teriana carried on with a somewhat exaggerated version of the battle for Aracom, ending with a triumph of drums and horns and the men chanting Marcus's name. One of her many talents, he replied, his chest tight. Then more loudly, be mindful of what you believe. All the boys twisted in surprise and fell into line. Half of what she says is fiction. Teriana hopped off the table, lifting one of her shoulders.
Just telling it as your men told it to me.
He didn't answer, only surveyed the library that had been his solace for most of his youth. His eyes skipping over the leaderboards for the officer tests. When he found one where he'd lost the top spot, he smiled. He turned on the boy, Bardenese, judging from the hue of his brown skin, standing close to Teriana. You're Ostornik. Wex had told him of the boy earlier, while Marcus was getting his hair cut, the commandant not so subtly suggesting that Marcus take the newly minted legatus under his wing.
Yes, sir.
Well done. The commandant speaks highly of you.
The boy swallowed, clearly fighting a smile.
Thank you, sir.
Marcus looked the boy over, 13, and all gangly limbs and elbows, though his eyes were full of intelligence. Not the cunning sort, but thoughtful and observant. And the boys behind him radiated the sort of loyalty that was earned, not forced upon them. The 51st have any interest in crossing the world? Ostornik's eyes widened.
With you, sir? To the Dark Shores?
Marcus nodded. It's a dangerous place, but there is a great deal to learn.
Yes, sir. I'd be honored, sir.
He glanced sideways at his officers, who were all grinning.
We'd all be honored to learn from the 37th.
Good. Marcus turned to Wex. Send them when you're ready. The commandant nodded, then gestured to Ostornik.
We are off to see the Senate. I'm putting Teriana here in your personal care. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Shall we?
Wex strode through the library, Marcus at his elbow, trusting Teriana would follow. Hating the questioning look in her eyes, but it couldn't be helped. She was in danger enough without anyone believing she meant anything to him. Not that it was a secret he'd be able to keep for much longer. The boys, guarding the doors, swung them open, and Marcus stepped out into the sun.
only to find the space full to the brim with the 51st, all of them lined up in neat ranks, banners flying above their heads, their armor polished to a shine. And in the center of them waited a golden chariot pulled by two horses, their trappings gold and plumage crimson.
"What nonsense is this?" he asked under his breath. "Cassius has a habit of making decisions behind closed doors," Wex answered. "I think it best that all of Salendriel know you are here, and why. And what better way to accomplish that than a triumph?"